before we go forward. So again, there's a brown little basket back there on that table. I mentioned, I think Wednesday, I can't remember if I mentioned it last week or not, but I'd like to take up a special love offering for Brother Les and Miss Nancy. God lays it upon your heart to put anything in there, Lord willing, whatever's there through the end of today. I'm going to try to take it over to them this week to try to just be a help to them with some of the medical expenses they're facing and just overall the expenses of what he's dealing with. So the Lord lays it on your heart to put something in there. Please feel free to do so. There's a basket back there. And just welcome to church this morning. I'm glad to be in church this morning. I'm glad to spend time with the brethren, hopefully spend time with the Lord this morning. Brother Jason, can you say something prayer, brother?
Our Father, we thank you for bringing us together this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the songs we're about to sing. We thank you for this time that we can set aside each week. And we thank you for those who find it important enough to break away from the world and all the things that are going on. The world seems to catch a lot of people on a Sunday morning, and they're doing something other than worshiping you and fellowshipping with the saints. And Lord, we just thank you for the willingness to be together and the desire to be together. Lord, we just pray that it'd be a blessing to each one of us. Help us to learn to love one another better. And to enjoy one another's company. Lord, we're going to spend a long time together. So we just pray that you help us to worship you together in spirit and in praise and in song. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Before we go forward, Rob, come up to lead us some singing. You're going to notice today we're doing things a little bit different. You'll see what I'm talking about as we go forward. The Lord just laid a few things on my heart. I think for hopefully to help for us all to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so one of the things you'll see is as we go into the Sunday morning service and the Sunday evening service and then even Wednesday nights. Again, I'm going to say this as your pastor, and I'll make mention of it again during the Sunday morning service. From Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, and Wednesday night service, we're going to be standing when we sing. Okay, so I'm going to say this too: if you're older and you can't stand, I completely understand. Feel more than free to stay seated. Okay, but let me show you a scripture in the Bible real quick. I want to read this to you. This came across my path as I was reading my Bible, and I just want to read it to you real quick, if I can find it here. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5 says this: Then the Levites, Yeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashbani, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethahaliah said, Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be his glorious name, which is exalted of all blessing and praise. I believe it's essential if you can. Listen, if you can't stand, I completely understand. But I believe as we come before the throne of God, especially during our singing, I think it's important to stand to worship and glorify God. So, I know I made some statements on Wednesday night for those of you who weren't here, but there's just some things that have just been heavy on my heart. Very heavy on my heart. And I think it's essential for this church to go forward. To see growth, hopefully to see growth, to see God glorified, to see God magnified. So again, the Sunday morning service, the Sunday evening, and Wednesday night service, there's going to be some few little changes. One of them is going to be just standing. Again, if you're hurt, your knee hurts, your back hurts, please stay seated. But if you're able to stand, I would ask you to stand, not for me, but to glorify God. It's not for what the pastor wants. I believe the Bible shows a precedence of standing and worshiping and glorying, especially when we're singing. So I'm going to leave it at that. Brother Ralph, you come on up and lead the singing here.
Thank you.
to. I'm going to put it over here on the organ. I got a card over here for Rudy McGowan. Now, those that weren't here Wednesday night, Rudy is a friend of Jason. He works with him, and he came to Kelly's funeral. He was here for that, for the memorial service. I want you to keep him in prayer. He lost his daughter this past week. She took her own life. So keep him in prayer, specifically that Jason may have opportunities to talk with him, that he wouldn't think about doing anything about his own life. But I got this card here. If you'd like to, I'm going to set it off to the side here. If you'd like to sign it, Lord willing, I'd like to try to get it to him this week. Also, Lord willing, after the morning service, about 10 minutes after the morning service, if the members could just stay on for a moment. I'm going to put forward the stuff in order for everybody to vote on the bylaws. And then I thank you for your prayers again for the public outreach. We had another 10 people out there again on Thursday. I think it's going well. We got yelled at quite a bit Thursday night, but that's a good thing.
Lord.
You know, it's a good thing. It doesn't help when you put the troublemakers on the corner. It's like some of the most innocent ladies, you think they're innocent.
Come on now, preach that.
My daughter gets yelled at, which I can't keep her to be quiet when she's out there. And then Miss Pat's getting called a witch, or somebody a witch yelling at her and saying Jesus is Satan. And I'm thinking, what is going on with you all in that corner over there? But no, I think the Lord's blessing his word. I think he's blessing his word. I believe people driving by, I hope they're being convicted. I hope they're thinking about where they're going to spend eternity. And again, just thank you for those that come out, and thank you for those that pray for us during that hour from 6 to 7, Lord willing. Barring any rain or thunderstorms, we'll try to be out there again this Thursday from 6 to 7. So if you're interested in seeing me, or just meet us out there at front in Pine Street.
Nope, you know what I'm going to do real quick?
So this is what I'm going to do different with the memory verses as well. Would anybody like to say the first one? Anybody say the first one? For the memory verses? The life is brief one? Anyone? Nobody?
I'll say it.
Go ahead, Michelle.
James, life is brief, James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even the vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away.
Amen. Second one. Anybody want the second one? That's the easy one. Ms. Barr?
Proverbs 27:1. Boast not of thyself. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest what the day may bring.
Fourth. Amen. 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 We want the third one. Brother Sam.
Yeah, Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment.
Amen. The fourth one. You don't want to do the fourth one? Christ may appear at any moment. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24:44. Last one, which is a hard one. Let's say it all together. Last one here. Let's say, no escape for procrastinators. Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Amen and amen. Thank you for those who tried to repeat that.
Standing. face needed to sing as well. 197. Countdown's getting lower every day.
All right, if you take your Bibles with me this morning, we're going to continue on with our study in Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter 2. You know, I was studying last night and this morning again and through this week, today's messages seem to kind of have a theme to them all the way across. And we'll probably look at it a little more in the Sunday morning service and then definitely some in the evening service and then even into Wednesday. But the I'm going to say this now. It's important. Look, that book back there, Dr. Terry Coomer put forth, Why Do I React the Way I React, or however he has it worded. Some individuals try to do what the Lord Jesus Christ wants them to be. You understand? They try to do, or they try in their own efforts to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. But you'll never be able to be like the Lord Jesus Christ if you are trying to establish and be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, it's for us to yield and let the Lord work through us. You see, listen, we can know what the Bible says, but now we need to let the Bible work through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, allow God to work through us and Him work through us the things that we desire to see occur in our own life. If we try to do it in our own strength, if on our, in our own mind, in our own intellect, rather than letting the Lord do it through the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, that's what's missing in a lot of people's lives today. They profess Christ, but does the Holy Ghost dwell within? That's the question. Does the Holy Ghost dwell within? You say, well, preacher, I can't do it. I can't do it. Well, with Christ, all things are possible. You understand? There's victory to be had in Jesus Christ. And for one to say, well, I can't do it, well, then it's one of two things. Either you're not yielding to the Holy Ghost of God, or you're not saved. One of the two. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I'm saying it's there for your taking if you so allow. We looked last week about how it says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We have a soul that is wrapped around with this flesh, and one day this flesh is going to die, it's going to pass away, but our soul will live forever. Take your Bible and look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 34. I want to finish up some thoughts here in verse number 7 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verse number 34. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 34. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34, the Bible says this. First Corinthians 15, verse 34, Paul states, he says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Why? For what purpose, Paul? For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. Now look, the Bible says here, Paul says, he says in verse 33, be not deceived, or 34, awake to righteousness and sin not. Why? For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And in verse 36, he says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. Now I'm going to make a little statement here in verse 36. Listen, in order for the Lord Jesus Christ to work through your life through the power of the Holy Ghost, you must die. Do you understand this morning? Not physically die. I'm not saying you physically take your life. I'm talking about you die to yourself. You stop going off the reasoning in your own mind, and you take up your cross daily, and you die. Look, hold your hand there, and look at Galatians, the book of Galatians, and chapter number 2, verse number 19. Hold your hand there. I'm going to come back to 1 Corinthians. But look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Look what it says next in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Do you see this morning? Look what the Bible says here. Look, man became a living soul. Look, what I want to try to get across this morning is, listen, My job as a preacher and as a pastor is to get you continually, I may repeat myself 1,000 times, but our eyesight off of this world and our eyesight on Jesus Christ. You see, you have limited time in this body of flesh that God has given you. What are you going to do with the limited time that you have with the vehicle God's provided for you to live for Him? Do you see? All of us at some point are crossing over to that other side. And Paul says here in Galatians chapter 2 verse 19, he says, for I through the law am dead to the law. For what purpose? That I might live unto God. He says in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Listen, if you're a born-again believer this morning, you are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. Why do you live? Because Christ didn't stay on that cross. He went in that grave, but after 3 days, he rose again, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. You now live your life through Jesus Christ. It is no longer your life. It's the life of Jesus Christ being exhibited and walked out in your own life. You say, how do I get victory? You get victory through Jesus Christ and yielding it to Him. Amen. Now, let me see if I can find this real quick. Take your Bible and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We live a life of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Correct? That's what the Bible says in Corinthians. We walk by faith and not by sight. How do you please God? You please God by having faith. Now look, and I'm going to probably get into it later on. And I'm telling you, it's going to occur more and more and more as we go forward into the future here. You watch. Individuals are going to come forth, false teachers, false prophets, false apostles are going to come forth, and they're going to be able to do signs. I'm telling you, it's going to occur. When we were out at that farmer's market Wednesday, me and Brother Joe got to talk to a lady, and then she handed me a little card, and she talks about this thing that's going, and it's worldwide. I watched some of the videos on it, went back and looked at it, called the Last Reformation. Basically, it's Pentecostalism or Charismatics on steroids. Really, it's what it is. And look, you know what? One of the women, and I'm going to look at it later on, just a short little snippet right now. One of the videos, the ladies, they're all about going around and healing people and getting people to speak in tongues and getting baptized. But just, again, I'm telling you, when you start looking at some of this stuff, there's little red flags that'll pop up that God will give you to say this is not of God. And one of them was, the lady said, when I get baptized, she was talking about with her son, when I get baptized with me and my son, when I come up out of that water, I want to see a sign like the Lord Jesus Christ saw when, you know, the dove descended when Jesus was baptized. And so when she was baptized, she came up and in the clouds, supposedly it was written the word real. And as they're showing this video, they show all these people around this lake or wherever where a bunch of people are getting baptized, I guess. And up in the sky, it's written real. Look, you could write it up there in blue, yellow, pink, whatever, and say real and write all kinds of paragraph up there. I don't believe it's coming from God. You know why? One of the reasons I don't think it is because they believe you got to be baptized to be saved. Right? So what I did is I went over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think it's verse 17, where Paul says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? Preach the gospel." I quoted that verse to her. Well, you know, Bible says for Christ sent me, Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize. If water baptism is essential for salvation, why in the world would Paul say for Christ sent me not to baptize? Do you understand? So there's a red flag. Another red flag. They baptize forward. In all my years of Christianity, even when I was lost, I ain't never seen nobody get baptized forward. Listen, I've been to a lot of funerals. I ain't never been to a casket and the individual in there is laying face down. Baptism is a symbol of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you go back and you're raised up. You don't get raised up with your face facing the ground. Brethren, there's something to it. But I'm saying this, I said, you need to know your Bible. And you can't, listen, and I bring it all the way back around to this, you can't go off of your feelings and what you see and what you hear. You go off of what does the Bible say. You know another one I asked her? Because I believe in speaking in tongues. She had some pretty good answers on this one. I was quite surprised. I said, well, how is this supposed to be done? Well, she said two or three at the most, and then in order. And then you know what it says right after that? Two verses. And I said, well, who does it mostly where you're at? Well, women. Well, do you know what the verses say right after? Let your women keep silence in the church. And I'm not being mean. I'm praying for her. But you know what? You get a bunch of individuals who go off their feelings. They like feelings. They like signs. They like wonders. But they don't like the Bible. Because the man who started this movement said, you know what? I got sick and tired of sitting in church listening to preaching. We'll look over at Romans real quick. Chapter number one. Look at Romans real quick. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. My fault. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Look what the Bible says here. 1 Corinthians 1:17, I just quoted part of it a few seconds ago. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to do what, Paul? What are you supposed to do, Paul, if Christ didn't send you to baptize, but to preach the gospel? What's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, he gives the answer later on in this letter, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that Jesus came to die for your sins. You know the red flag I saw? Nothing about the blood. And all the videos like that I watched, because it's quite the production that got going on now. Nothing about the blood of Jesus Christ. You know why I'm saved this morning? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood washes away my sins. You can dip me in water all day long. You can keep me submerged down there with some scuba gear. But each time I come up, I'm only saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not saved by speaking in tongues. You know what? You ask me, what does the Bible say tongues is for? What is tongues for? The Bible says tongues is a sign. Who requires a sign in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? The Jews require a sign. What did Jesus say to those that were seeking after a sign? They were a wicked and adulterous generation. Look, it's not about what you can see. It's not about what you can hear. It's not about what you can feel. It's about what Jesus Christ has done for you, and you placing your faith and trust in his finished work. And then after that, you letting him work through your life. You not doing it, but you yielding to the Holy Spirit of God as he works through your life. And he'll give you victory over any situation you may face. Do you understand, brethren? And I'm going to look at it probably some more. There's nothing you're going through that is taking God by surprise. Now, I said something last week, and I just want to clarify it. I mentioned about Nehemiah being a cupbearer and appearing before the king, and how he had a sad countenance, and the king asked him about it. Listen, you come to church no matter what. Actually, the worse you feel, the more you need to be in church. Not for me. But look, I believe this. You come to church broken, you come to church depressed, you come to church when you have anxiety, you come to church when you feel like the whole weight of the world is on your shoulders. You come to church because Jesus Christ can lift those burdens off of you. Do you understand? Look here, I believe this with all my heart. I talked last week about you just telling God your anger, telling God that you're upset. And what I mean by that is if you're doing it with the right attitude from the heart, just expressing what's in your heart, I believe as soon as you start to do that with a right heart, that God will get in there and meet with you and give you the strength and help you need with what you're facing. Yes, sir. I believe that. Look, as a pastor and as a preacher, I can only do so much for you because I'm a man. But I believe if you cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, he can help you no matter what the situation may be, no matter what you might face. Now, a sister in the Lord made this comment to me and when we were out there sign holding, and she said, well, how about a situation to where if we're being persecuted and then they take your children or your child and they're persecuting your child rather than you? And that's occurred before through history. It has occurred before where that's one of the ways they tried to get the believers by, well, it even goes on today in the gang world. They take out the mama or the daughter. They don't take out the person they got the problem with. They touch what they care about, their family. So Satan knows that. So if ever persecution comes, so often they'll persecute the family while the believer sits there and watches, hoping that they'll recant or turn their back on Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I can handle that. That's right. You can't handle it right now. You know why? Because you're not going through it. Listen, God only gives grace when grace is needed. But you see, that's the devil's playground to get in there thinking about what would I do if I was in a situation, and it'll drive you crazy, it'll drive you to despair, it'll drive you to quit, and it's exactly what he wants done. Now, if you're facing that situation, I believe God will come in and meet with you and give you the grace you need at that very moment. Don't let the devil mess with your mind. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. Why? Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Look what he says in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the power of God. There's power in the blood. Do you understand this morning? I know I say that a lot, but it's something, listen, and even some of the things, some of the little changes I'm making, brethren, I'm trying to get more comfortable in being a pastor and not being intimidated by what I think should be done, but by what others think should be done, but rather what I think God wants to be done. Do you understand this morning as I'm going forward as your pastor, I'm trying to put forth what I believe God wants done for all of our benefit. I'm not here of my own calling. And I said this Wednesday night, listen, if it was Chris Welton in his flesh, I would not be standing here this morning. Look, as a preacher, I'll try to always be honest with you. I would not be standing here this morning. In my flesh, I'd be back down in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm here because God's called me here. God wants me here for His purposes, for His glory, and for as long as He wants me here. Therefore, I've got to do what God lays upon my heart, and I pray you trust me in it. And I pray you seek God's face as I try to go forward with this church. Does that make sense? Listen, I'm not content with the status quo. If you're content with the status quo, so be it. But as a preacher, I'm not. Now, I'm not going forward trying to fill this church up with 400 people. But if that happens, glory to God. But God must do it, not me. But one thing I do want is I want not the spirit to be quenched. I want the right spirit within the services so that God can move for whoever's here. Does that make sense? Even if it's only 10 people here because the rest say, forget this nonsense, I'm moving on. Good, then at least God will get in and meet with the 10 and power will be there with God. We're missing something in our churches today. We're missing the power of God. And a lot of it is because we just do what the book says, not this book, whatever book we learn or however things are supposed to be done. This is the tradition of men and this is how it should be done in the churches. Well, the last time Jesus said, listen, the tradition of men get you nowhere. The apostles did not live by the tradition of men, but by the power of God. I don't want formalism. Now listen to me this morning. Should there be structure? Absolutely. I love structure. I love when everything's in line. I love when things are clean and neat and orderly. But then there's also got to be a state of flexibility. Both. You can't err to either side, brethren. You cannot err to either side. A false balance is an abomination to God. A false balance, structure coupled with flexibility. You take those bridges that will cross, you take a bridge that gets you from one end to the other side. If it's a large bridge, that bridge is not built to be solid to never move. If you watch slow motion cameras, there's a bridge down there in Charleston, and that, it's fairly new, within the last 20 years. And you watch that bridge, it's a big bridge, but guess what? When a hurricane or something comes through that bridge, you watch it. It moves back and forth. Now, when you're driving on it, you're probably really not going to feel it because it's a big bridge. But if you watch it slow motion, it's swaying back and forth. But what does that bridge do? It gets you from one end to the other. Is it solid? Yes. Is it structured? Yes. Does it have order? Yes. But does it have flexibility? Absolutely. Because when a storm comes, or God, you got to have that flexibility to move how God's desire for you to move. Do you listen? Too many are living their Christian life like dot, 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 and they feel safe in that. Rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to work through that, because that means you got to have a walk with God. You know what? Just give me a checklist. Just give me a bunch of do's and don'ts. Just give me a structure of how I should do everything. And as long as I'm inside that structure, I'm safe because I'm doing everything it says. I say rip that up and walk with the Holy Spirit of God. But guess what? That's going to take time. That's going to mean you're going to take time spending time in the Bible, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, meditating the Bible, spending time in prayer, meditating with God, praying with God, and then wrestling things out with God to where it adds more gray hair to your head. Listen, what did Jacob do? He wrestled all night. It's not easy, brethren. It's a wrestling match. I used to love wrestling. I still like watching collegiate wrestling. Love it. Not the fake junk. I'm talking about the real stuff. And I've wrestled before. Growing up here in Pennsylvania, if you're a young man, you don't wrestle, something's wrong. All right. My little time, I was a little tiny boy, my grandpa was like, "You wrestling?" But I remember, listen, when you're wrestling in there, and it's a carnal illustration, but it's you and just that other individual. And sometimes you might be wrestling with the enemy trying to get the victory. Sometimes you might be wrestling trying to get the victory over your flesh. And sometimes you might be wrestling with God. But what does that produce? That produces strength. And it produces encouragement. It produces fortitude. It produces an attitude, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going until I can't go no more. And that's what we need as Christians today. You see, you have a living soul. You say, "Preacher, that's a long way to get back around to this." Yes, you have a living soul. You are a living soul. And someday you're going to have to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and look at Daniel chapter 5, verse number 23. Daniel chapter 5, verse 23. Daniel chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse number 23. Daniel speaking here. Daniel chapter 5, verse number 23. To Belteshazzar, as he threw this huge party with all his captains and his leaders and his wives and his concubines, and they're throwing this big old huge party. But at the very end, Daniel chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible says this: But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, and thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And look at this last part. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. You know why you glorify God this morning? Because he holds the very breath that you breathe in his hand. You know why pride is so damnable this morning? You know why God hates pride, I believe, over every other sin there is out there? You know why God hates pride is because it thinks you think that you got, that you're controlling your life, that it's your life to live, and God says, "I hold the very breath you breathe in my hand this morning." That's why it's so wicked, that's why it's so devilish to be lifted up with pride. When a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We're nothing, we are nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. We are nothing, like I said last week, but a glorified dirt ball. That is the honest truth. We get painted up, we get done up, and I talked about last week, but in the end, it all ends with going back to the dust of the ground. And Daniel says to Belshazzar, "Listen, Belshazzar, you messed up. You had a nice big party going on here, but tonight you're going to lose your life because you glorified the gods of wood, iron, brass, and stone rather than the God who holds the very breath and your very breath in his hand." Take your Bible, look over at Acts chapter 17, verse 23. Man became a living soul. Acts chapter 17, verse number 23. Acts 17, verse 23. Paul walking through here in Athens, near Mars Hill. Look what he says here to those that are standing by. Acts chapter 17, verse number 23. Acts 17:23. Look what the Bible says here. Then Paul, or 23, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for dwell on all the to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. God has given us the breath that we breathe. You see, God breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now I want to close with these thoughts this morning. Listen, we're accountable to God. Brother Sam quoted Terry. He said, Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I want to go forward with that in front of me. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Look at John, the book of John, chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 26. John 5 and verse 26. Actually, look at verse 25. John chapter 5, verse 25. The Lord Jesus making these statements here. Look what he says to the crowd that's there. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, judgment coming. Now listen, if I just read those verses there, I'd go forward in my life, listen, making sure that I'm trying to live every moment for the Lord Jesus Christ. And realizing this life's temporary, and at some point, some are going to get raised up to the resurrection of life, and some are going to be raised up to the resurrection of damnation. I believe that's the final judgment there, and not the rapture of the church. But either way, listen, there's judgment coming. There's a whole other side to this thing here. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 9. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 9. Man became a living soul. Man, with his soul, must someday give an account to his Creator. Someday your soul is going to give an account to the Creator who gave you life. Romans chapter 14, look at verses 9. Look at verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Those are some fearful verses in my mind. The Bible says here that for we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, verse 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. There's not one of us, and I said this last week, that's going to stand before God and say, hey, can I have this other individual come up here with me as I'm facing the judgment seat of Christ? Listen, it is you and the God who gave you life. And you're going to have to give an account of how you live this life in the vehicle he's given you to live it in. And there will be, some will say, well, what about the man down there in Ecuador who's living off in the middle of nowhere and has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. That man is without excuse. There's no individual that's going to stand before God and say, God, you did me wrong. God, you didn't give me a chance. God, you didn't let me know. God, I had no clue. He's going to say, the Bible says, man is without excuse. there'll be no excuse for us someday when we stand before God. You see, we as human beings are frail and fragile. We're nothing more than clay that has life. One must realize and acknowledge that we live in a sin-cursed body and world. You know why bad things happen today? Because of sin. You know why bad things happen to good people? Because of sin. Because of our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam decided to disobey God and sin entered into the world. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Whether it's a newborn baby that comes forth from its mother womb and dies within a few hours, or somebody that lives to 114 years old and dies at a good old age, what we consider it, death. Why? Because of sin. Why is there so much wickedness in this world today? Because man chose to rebel against God, and this is the wages of it. But you see, I don't dwell on that because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see? One of us, listen, we can be concerned about death, but brethren, listen, so often when people get a terminal diagnosis, all of a sudden now their focus comes in because it seems like there's been a date put on their life. But we should live that day no matter what the diagnosis is for our life. Do you understand this morning? I guarantee if all of a sudden I got a diagnosis, God forbid, that I had cancer and I had maybe 6 months to a year to live, obviously my thinking would change and I would try to even devote more of my time to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I should do that now whether I have that diagnosis or not. Do you understand? I should be all about the Lord Jesus Christ now, even if I have another 50 years or if I have 2 months. My focus should be on glorifying Him every moment of my life. Not because of something I hear or something that's told to me. That it should be it no matter what. The Bible says, what I wrote here, it says, man's disobedience and rebellion against God has brought about the darkness and pain that is in the world today. The majority of mankind throughout history have chosen their own path and intellect over the light and deliverance offered by God. There's victory in Jesus Christ. We are more than overcomers. We are more than overcomers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, look back at Genesis chapter 2. I got a few more minutes here for a second. I want to plant this thought in your mind. Look at the next verse it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. No pun intended here. But look at Genesis chapter 2. Look at verse number 8. So, Right before verse number 8 in chapter 2, we get that man became a living soul. And then we find this. Look what the Bible says. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Now, I was reading through that. I said, would you look at that? And sometimes, all the times I've read through Genesis, I kind of just read right past through that thing. But the Bible says this. It says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. God planted a garden. I don't know how it was done, but the Bible says the Lord God, not Adam, not Eve, not an angel, the Bible says the Lord God planted a garden where? Eastward in Eden. Now, Eden is what we're going to say, well, at lack of a word, a city or an area. And there's a little part of Eden, or an area of Eden, where God goes to the eastward side of it, and God himself plants a garden. And the Bible says next that that garden that he planted, the Bible says, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Planet means this, set in the earth for propagation. It means set, it means fixed, it means established. It means furnished with seeds or plants for growth. God planted a garden. Let me ask you this question this morning before we close up. Will you allow the Lord to work in your life? Will you allow Him to plant you wheresoever He desires? I'm being dead serious on this morning. A lot of people kick and fight against where God wants them planted. The Bible says the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he took the man whom he had formed and he put him there in that garden he had planted. God took man and put him in a situation that he set up, that he established for the growth of that man. Will you allow the Lord to plant you in the garden of affliction? Will you allow the Lord to plant you in the garden of affliction? Look at Psalm chapter 34, verse 17. Psalm chapter 34 and verse number 17. Psalm chapter 34, verse 17. Look what David says here. Psalm 34, look verse 17. Psalm 34, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of what? A broken heart. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Look what it says in verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. There may be a time where God will plant you in the garden of affliction, but he hears your cry, he sees your trouble, and as long as you stay nigh to him and allow him, even though there's a broken and contrite spirit, listen, God looks for those things in our lives. Affliction means this, the state of being afflicted, a state of pain. Listen to me this morning. I pray if you, the last thing you get here this morning. Affliction means a state of pain, distress, or grief. The cause of affliction means the cause of continued pain of body or mind as sicknesses, losses, calamity, adversity, or persecutions. With that definition in mind, look what it says in verse 19 again in Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions of who? The righteous. It's not a flowery bed of ease. You strive, listen, I believe this with all my heart, the more you strive to live for God, the more you try to crucify this flesh and the lust and its affections, the more you try to read your Bible, the more you try to pray, the more afflictions are going to come upon you. The more distress, the more grief, the more sorrow. Because the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, listen, who delivers you? You don't try to deliver yourself, the Lord delivers you. If you allow him to work in your life. But it comes about by having a broken and a contrite heart before him. You see, God might just be putting you through a situation for you to realize you can't do it. You see, God might be putting you in a situation to realize you've been relying more on you than on him. And he may keep causing more and more until where you get to a point where you say, God, I can't handle it. And he says, exactly, I'm glad I finally got you to that point to where you realize you can't handle it. You can't handle nothing that comes across your path. You need me every moment. Do you see this morning? The Lord hears the cry of the righteous and he delivereth them out of all their troubles. But he wants them to get to a point to where they realize they can't do it. They can't bring about the deliverance. Only he can bring about the deliverance. We're trying too much in our strength to live this and walk this Christian life. And it's something that God's been teaching me these last couple of months coming up here and being a pastor, realizing, Chris, you can't do it. You need me to do it through you. Do you see, if you strive to do it yourself, if you're honestly trying to strive to do it yourself, it's going to drive you to despair and hopefully not to quit. But if you can allow God to work out the circumstances in your life to where you realize you can't do it and you fall down before him, he'll then give you the strength to go forward with his strength, because his strength doesn't fail. His arms don't get tired. His ears don't get dull of hearing. His eyes don't get sleepy with sleep. He sees, he knows, he hears, and he's there to help if you'll allow him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this morning. Lord, you're worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Lord, help us this morning to be willing to be planted in whatever garden you would have us to be in. Lord, help us to not be as Paul, that we kick against the pricks. But Lord, help us to yield to what you're trying to do in our life that would help us to draw closer to you. Lord, help us to go forward with a broken and a contrite heart and spirit. Lord, help us not to be lifted up with pride. Lord, help us to go forward in your strength, your wisdom, your understanding, and your counsel. Lord, thank you for these precious brethren. Thank you for this Sunday school hour. Lord, I pray you be glorified in the next hour. And Lord, that we would just praise your name. Thank you for all you've done for us. And we just praise this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you. Take a little break here, and we'll get started here in a few minutes.